Those who never learn basic cooking skills in the kitchen have two choices. Either they depend on someone else to prepare their meals at home, or they head for the nearest drive-thru to pick up fast food. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll uses that word picture as a parallel to our spiritual nourishment. Young Christians depend on others to provide biblical teaching, while more mature believers have learned how to prepare their own spiritual meals. This classic series is called Searching the Scriptures. And before we begin today's study, Chuck leads us in prayer.
Hear the prayer today, our Father of those without the Savior, your Son, and apply your grace to them as you have to us. And may the string of sin that binds itself to their back snap, and may the burden be relieved forever. We are lost in the wonder and love and praise of you, O God, because of Jesus, who died for us. And when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. Because you've changed us, our Father, we have learned to be generous, and we give to you, and you, by grace, will bless us as we trust to you our gifts in the name of Christ, our Savior, the author of grace, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called Choosing the Recipe, Pursuing the Treasures of Scripture.
You need to know the joy of discovery, the pleasure of doing your own digging and fixing of that meal so that from one day to the next, you become, if you will, spiritually, scripturally self-sustaining. Now let me add here, it will take time, it will take discipline for you to do the job that's necessary to prepare your own meals. It's hard to cook your own meals, right? If you don't, you're eating someone else's cooking. You've been doing that all of your life. Without in any way wanting to insult you, that's why you are biblically illiterate. Some of you. Not all of you, of course not. But you who do not prepare your own meals are biblically illiterate. You say, what's the big deal about preparing your own meals? Well, what if someday you don't have a Bible? What if someday you're living in a cell? Because our government has been overthrown by a foreign government, then terrorists win. They have no place in their plans for the Bible. So how do you survive on spiritual food? From your own study, from your own learning of the Scriptures. And I will tell you, if you are not right now, you will be an invaluable presence in that cell if you are the one who knows the Scriptures. Anyone who has been a POW will tell you the value of the Word of God. It's amazing. It's amazing what happens when pain enters the heart. One wag has put it, pain plants the flag of reality in the fortress of a rebel heart. And those who have been rebels sometimes wind up in prison. It's amazing how soft the heart can become when you're in great need. So my desire today and through these times we're together is to equip you with what's necessary for doing your own work, cooking your own meals. And I will tell you, if you begin to perfect it and tell me following a worship service or before or whenever we run across each other, let me tell you about what I just found. No one will be more excited for you than I will, because I realize you've gotten it. You're beginning to do your own work. May I say it? You're growing up. You're becoming a spiritual adult because you're preparing your own meals. Now, let me give you some suggestions for getting started. First of all, there are some essential conditions of the heart. That's first. In order for you to do your own work in the scriptures, there are some essential conditions. One of them is personal integrity and purity. We get that in verse 1. Joyful are people of integrity. They are the ones who follow the instructions of the Lord. You can follow the instruction if your life is marked or beginning to be marked by purity or integrity. It's for people of integrity. You cannot be living in sin, walking in your own flesh, carrying out your own desires, and expect to glean anything from the scriptures. Oh, you may find a rebuke or a warning here and there, but you'll never draw truth from the scriptures for your life until you realize this is for the believer in Christ whose way is pure. So you make sure that you have dealt with the sins of your life by bringing them before the Lord, having his forgiveness, and claiming that forgiveness as you get into the Word of God. You also need to be willing. That's another essential. A willingness, a desire to follow. See what he says? Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. There's a willingness there, a desire. The Lord doesn't drag you along by your ear. He doesn't pull you by the arm. There's a willingness that must be there for you to take in the truths. I can tell you from experience over these many years, when I open the scriptures, I cannot wait to get into them. Why? Because I have a willingness. I've cultivated a willingness to get into the Word of God. And I love to be around people with that same willingness. We become contagious. Our excitement begins to rub off, which leads to a third essential. That would be passion. The passion to search. Passion plays a very important role. Verse 2, joyful are those who obey his laws. And look at the next verb, and search for him with all their hearts. It takes energy to search. It requires passion to pursue. In fact, if you'll hold your place, go to Proverbs, the next book of your Bible, chapter 2. Let me show you something out of this second chapter. I love Proverbs 2, which shows you the value of pursuit. This is one of those my son sections of Proverbs, and several chapters begin with my son or my child. It would be son or daughter. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom. Concentrate on understanding. Cry out for instruction. There's prayer. Cry out for insight. Ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. If you've ever seen archaeologists at work, digging in the dirt, probing patiently with shovel and spade, sometime with a little fine brush, they are searching for treasures deep within. When you dig, it requires that kind of commitment, that kind of discipline. You're searching for these as you would for silver, for treasure. In fact, after doing that, which is the condition of the Proverbs, look at verse 5. Here's the promise. Then you will have understanding of what it means to fear the Lord. You will gain a knowledge of God. We don't have to read any further for you to hear that important statement. Some of you would have to admit that you're basically illiterate biblically. I don't say that to insult any of you. I say it to declare your need. You cannot operate in any sense of wisdom if you remain biblically illiterate. If you do not know how to do your own digging, probing, searching, you'll remain illiterate. Oh, you'll hear great things from other people, but it won't really make a major difference when the bottom drops out of your life. You will find that as a result of nourishing yourself, you stabilize your walk. You strengthen your life. You begin to discern truth from error. You can discover right from wrong. Not just because you're a Christian, or because you go to a fine church, but because you are digging into the treasures with passion. Let me mention one more. Go back to Psalm 119, and that would have to do with time. Preparing your own meals will take time. You know that. I mean, think about eating. That's a good subject. Think about your own meals. That's why they call it today fast foods. One of our daughters says with tongue in cheek, when her kids were little, she would tell them all, "We're going to go to supper. Come on," they'd all hop in the car because that's where supper was going to be. But when you prepare supper, you go to the work in your home, having gotten the food, gone through the grocery list, brought it home, peeled whatever needed to be peeled, washed whatever needed to be washed, cooked whatever needed to be washed. You are now able to prepare the meal. And you know as well as I do, they are much more nourishing, but they take more time. That seems to be implied in verse 12. Look at that verse of Psalm 119. They swarmed around me like bees. They blazed. That's a nice verse, but it's 118. Look at Psalm 119. Verse 12. Nice play, Chuck. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I praise you. Now I ask you to teach me. And you and I know that teaching takes time. Look at 23. Even princes sit and speak against me, but I will meditate on your decree. It takes time. Your laws please me. They give me wise advice. I get wisdom and wise advice from the truth of scriptures. So understand, all of this comes first, these conditions of the heart. So knowing the Lord, the life of purity, being willing to follow him, having a passion to pursue the truth, and then pouring your heart out to the Lord, taking the time for it. Now, second, some helpful tools for your own digging. We've looked at some essential conditions of the heart. Here are some helpful tools for digging on your own, digging deeply. First of all, you will need your own Bible. How elementary can I get? Well, some of you have been looking over your wife's shoulder long enough. Her Bible is not your Bible. You need your own Bible, guys. You need your own Bible. And believe it or not, you can go and buy one in a Bible bookhouse, and they'll even put your name on it. It'll be your own, just for you. You need a Bible that is in a translation you can understand. You may want to have a study Bible with notes at the bottom. You may not. The one I preach from does not. The one I study from does. But the Bible that I use has large print. Of course it would. I need to see it from a distance, and I don't need to be fiddling around with tiny little microscopic words that run together. Little tiny verses lead to little tiny Christians. You want to be able to read a Bible on your own. So get one that's got a print you can read. And if it's not the one you should have, go ahead. It'll cost you less than a few cups of coffee these days. Get your own copy of the scriptures. Make sure you have some room in the margin so that you can do your own markings. I don't use Cynthia's Bible. She doesn't use mine, not for serious study. We may refer to it if we're looking for a verse together, but we have our own Bibles from which to study. So you need a Bible. Number two, you need a dictionary. Every home should have a dictionary, okay? You know what a dictionary is. A home without a dictionary is a home that's not ready to do serious study. So you need an English dictionary. If you really want to get serious, hold on now, grab hold of both sides of the seat, get a Bible dictionary. Whoa! Where do I get a Bible dictionary? There are in every Bible bookstore, every Christian bookstore. If you get past all the whatnots, you will find a place that has a Bible dictionary. The one I use is Unger's, U-N-G-E-R, the man I studied under when I learned Hebrew in the Old Testament, in my days at Dallas Seminary. But you may choose another Bible dictionary. It will help you. It will give you places and names and explain words, because the building block of great thought is always words. Words are super important. The meaning of a word will have everything to do with the meaning of the sentence. And the meaning of the sentence will have everything to do with the paragraph in which it is placed. You will never understand how to cook your own meals if you don't understand ingredients. The ingredients of the meal are based on an understanding of the words. That is why I'm such a word vulture. I have gone through, I'm going to guess, about 3 dictionaries in these 55 years in my study. The one I'm now using is fairly new. I think I got it a year ago. And I'm forever going through a dictionary, looking up definitions. I'm forever going through a Bible dictionary, looking up places, looking up names, looking up the meaning of words. What does this refer to? So a Bible dictionary is important. Third, here we go, you need a concordance. C-O-N-C-O-R-D-A-N-C-E. I can't believe I'm doing this in the pulpit. C-O-N-C-O-R-D-A-N-C. The reason is it's an unfamiliar word. Concordance is an alphabetical listing of all the words in the Bible. You read the word delight. In a concordance, you will find every time the word delight appears. It may not seem important right now. It'll be very important before we're through with the series, because you need to compare one verse with another, which is called correlation. We'll get to that later on. Finally, and you knew I'd get to this, you need a good set of maps. I love maps. It's been a while since I've told you that. Look in the back of your Bible. Watch the dust fly when you go all the way back there. Careful now. Get all the way back. Isn't it amazing? Some of you don't even have a Bible. You have to have a Bible if you're going to glean from these things we're going to learn together. Okay? Now, all the way to the back, you find the maps. If you don't have maps, you got the wrong Bible. It needs to be replaced with a Bible that has a set of maps. You don't need to get a book of maps. That would be great. I have 4 Bible atlases in my study for various reasons, as they cover various areas in greater detail. Hardly a week passes I'm not in the atlas, one of those atlases, or looking in the back of my Bible. Bibles usually have 10 to 12, maybe 15 maps. And if your Bible is a current publisher, a Bible, you will have maps that are current. You will have a current map of the land of Israel. You will have a map of the days of Jesus, when he walked the streets of Jerusalem and the land of Israel. You will have a map on the Exodus out of Egypt. You will find a map on the patriarchs. You will see a map on the journeys of Paul. You will find yourself dealing with geography in many places of the Bible, and you'll be at a loss because most of you have never been to the Bible lands. And how can you be expected to understand where this place is? Like Decapolis, where would that be? And would Caesarea by the Sea be the same Caesarea as Caesarea Philippi? No. What's the difference? What took place there? Your map will show the places, and your Bible dictionary will explain the difference. So when you get serious to doing study on your own, you will ultimately realize you can get this. This is not for seminary students. I know I'm going over some of this rather rapidly, but the reason I am mentioning these is so that you will realize you need your own place to study. You wouldn't think of working in a garden without tools. You certainly wouldn't think of going into any sense of serious archaeological works without tools. You've got to have the tools. So all of this means you need a place where you can keep the tools you're going to be using. There are just a few of these books that I've mentioned. There'll be others coming along later on, but these are the basic tools. You may not have a large place. You may have a large family. You may not have a lot of quietness. You need a place where you can study. I know a man who does his study in his car. My mother did most of her study in our bathroom. We were always saying, "Mom, are you through?" And she would come out with her Bible under one arm and a dictionary under another, and I'd say, "Mom, please." She said, "There's no other place as quiet where I can be alone." And I have my own seat there anyway. That's another subject. Wherever you find your own place, you can put your tools. You put your Bible, you put your dictionary, your Bible dictionary, your concordance, and ultimately, if you wish to get an atlas, you can get your own Bible atlas. But in good Bibles, you have enough maps to go on right here. Now, let me mention one more thing as we're talking about getting started. There are promises, personal promises, to claim as a result of learning the Scriptures. This is one of the most exciting parts of doing your own study. God has made you and me promises that as a result of getting to know His Word, He will bless you in these ways. Because you are poring over it and beginning to take it seriously, not only are you ready to live and ultimately ready to die, you are equipping yourself for life. Let me show you some of the promises, the personal promises to claim. Go back to Psalm 119. Look at verses 5 and 6. Verse 5. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. By the way, it's another synonym for the Bible called decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. Truth be told, some of you live in a cave of shame. My heart goes out to you. There are a few enemies of the soul worse than shame. Some people will make you ashamed. Some hold shame over you and keep you under the thumb of shame or guilt. The better you get to know the Word of God, the less shame you will have to deal with. God will deliver you from the shackles of shame. That's a promise. Look at verse 98. You turned there earlier. Look again. Here are three of them in a row. Talk about great personal promises. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Now look at the promise. Your commands, that would be God's word, make me wiser than my enemies. Here's a promise that you will have a wisdom above and beyond those who have it in for you, those who stalk you, those who would say ugly words against you. And we all have people like that. By God's word being taken seriously, you will gain a wisdom over your enemies that will help you live above the intimidation and the threat of their presence in your life. What a great promise. They are my constant guide. Look at the next one, very next verse. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers. There's a second promise right here in this list of three. Not only a wisdom greater than my enemies, but I'll have insight greater than my teachers. You know that's true. I hear some people lecture and teach, and I'm not on their intellectual level, but I hear enough to know that when I filter it with the Scriptures, what they're saying right now is not true. It's not said from arrogance. Just based on the Scriptures, I've been given insight into what God has said. This is insight for life, insight for living. I might as well say it. It's insight for living. You'll have more insight than those who are professors. You won't be tossed aside by professors whose goal is to ship your faith. You'll be able to stand your ground. God promises that. Look at verse 100. I'm even wiser than my elders. It means just what it says. You don't have to wait till you're up in your 60s and 70s or 80s to gain a little wisdom. You'll gain it early. Listen to me, if you become a student of the Scriptures in your 30s, you'll be a leg up on anybody in their 60s and 70s when it comes to wisdom. And Job tells us great men are not always wise, neither do the aged always understand judgment. When you get into the Scriptures on your own, you will begin to glean judgment. You'll begin to get wisdom and insight and understanding.
No matter our age, all of us have a lot to learn about how to prepare spiritual meals on our own. You're listening to Insight for Living and the first message in Chuck Swindoll's practical series called Searching the Scriptures. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, in recent days, we've been very intentional about making our listening family aware of the financial barrier that's currently putting pressure on this ministry. And gratefully, many of our friends are stepping forward to become monthly companions. Chuck, when Insight for Living sponsors a public event, or sometimes on Sunday mornings after you preach, you have the privilege of greeting monthly companions who attend. You can often see a little twinkle in their eyes because they're eager to shake your hand and let you know that they're on the team.
You know they do. I'm down front right after I preached. I'll stand there until virtually the last person in the church leaves. Cynthia's right there by me, and we can't number the people who've come by and done that very thing. They'll either say, "We regularly support you," or they prefer to say, "We're among your monthly companions." And I always give them an extra hug or shake their hands with a little more vigor. And I say, "You can't know what that means to us." And many of them will say, "Oh, I think we do. I think we do know." That's why we want to do it. So that's what today is about. We want to prompt you to move from this random giver prompted by impulse to regular giving so that your gift comes through and helps us in season, out of season, month after month.
Yeah, becoming a monthly companion is quick and simple when you call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. To say thank you to our first-time monthly companions, we'd like to send you a brand new book Chuck has written. It's called What If God Has Other Plans? Each of the chapters in this book addresses a specific problem, such as pain, loss, and loneliness. And again, when you become a monthly companion, we'd be happy to send you the book, What If God Has Other Plans? If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Thursday, Chuck Swindoll continues his classic series called Searching the Scriptures, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Choosing the Recipe, Pursuing the Treasures of Scripture, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.